In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 20, the Bible says, could you read with me today? For the kingdom of God is not in word. Could you read that again? For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. Could you say power? Father, bless your word this morning. We thank you in Jesus' name. Could you say amen? Have your seats. Have your seats in the presence of God. I got a thought for you this morning. I want you to need to understand that while I was away, God was saying to me, it is time that the church understand that you have not been called into the body of Christ just to be a professional in the world. You have been called by God to build his kingdom. Could he say amen? I was sitting in Barbados as the people sent me, and God says, I want you to tell people that the key to their success, their longevity, their increase, their favor, their blessing is connected to them seeking first the kingdom of God. Could he say amen? You need to understand that everything you need, God has reserved it in your pursuit of building his kingdom. It is very sad to know that you will work 20 years, 30 years on something, and at the end of that time, you discover that all that money did not make you happy. You find out that all that fame didn't make you happy. You will find out later on that all the notoriety, all the status you have obtained has not fulfilled you, because the only thing that will fulfill you is God. Could he say God? You say God. But the Bible says the kingdom of God is not just in logos. You might know the word. You might know the Bible. People could quote the Bible. You could tell people, oh, the Bible says God so loved the world, he gave his only. And you could talk it really well. But the kingdom of God is more than just words. Anybody could quote the Bible. Come on. But the kingdom of God is not in word. God don't just want you to be walking around and quoting scripture. He wants you to walk around with power. Could you say power? Because what the world needs today, it is not more Bible and more scripture and more head knowledge. The world needs power. Could you say power? I want to let you know, without power, nothing changed. Without power, nothing changed. The Bible says the kingdom of God is not in logos, written words, but it's with dunamis, the supernatural. God releasing himself in a situation and changing that situation. Could he say amen? You know, I was showing my leaders this morning, I put three different bulbs on the table, and I say, most people are like these bulbs. They have great potential, but they are out of place. They have great potential, but they are out of place. I put the bulbs on the table, and I say, these bulbs have the ability to push back darkness. These bulbs have the ability to illuminate a room, to illuminate even a whole tongue. These bulbs have the ability to give direction. These bulbs have the ability to give revelation. But until that bulb finds its place, it will never fulfill its purpose. It will never fulfill its assignment. It will never fulfill its potential. Are you hearing me today? You are the light of the world, but some of us are lights without power. That bulb has to find its place. And many of us, we have come to church for years, but we have not found our place because we are so busy building our own kingdom. Ah, Yarabushanda. We are so busy building our own kingdom, trying to be the biggest, trying to be the high, trying to be the most educated, trying to have the biggest house, the best car, to have all of this. And we have neglected our real purpose. Are you hearing me today? But you will discover that having everything and being out of place will make you feel so unfulfilled. Come on. You know, I was sharing the leaders that I went on this cruise that the leaders sent me on, and I told my wife, I hope I don't run into no church people because I just want to relax and just be myself. I spend time with God in the morning and I just want to just relax. I don't want to counsel nobody. I don't want to pray for nobody. I just want to relax. And God is like, brother, you don't understand. Wherever you go, you are my Bob. You are my servant. You should be ready to do do kingdom work. And I was saying to them, I went and I sat at the table, and this man walked in and sat next to me. And I looked at the man. I was telling the waiter, I don't want to sit there. And she said, no, sit here. And I sat there. And next thing, this man walked in and sat right next to me with his wife. And I'm sitting there, man, and he's all decked off. And I'm sitting there. I turned and said, how are you enjoying the cruise? And he told me, we begin talking. And then he says to me, what do you do? And now I have a choice to say I'm a realtor or a family counselor or a carpenter, which are all I am. But I had to say, I am a pastor. Oh, my God. It came out my mouth because I got to represent and identify with the purpose for which I was born. I said, I am a pastor. He said, you're a pastor? I said, yeah, I'm a pastor. He said, well, I'm a bishop. I said, you're a bishop? I said, why? I started ministering to him, and the Holy Ghost fell in the dining room. I see two other people at another table looking at us, and I started ministering to him and his wife, and he started crying in the dining room. His wife started crying, and he couldn't even eat his food. He told the waiter, take it back. I got to go to my room. And he said he went to this room and lay out all night, and he came here to church Friday night and said, God changed his life on that cruise. And God says to me, my God, you got to understand that your life is more than just good on a cruise. It's more than just good on a vacation. Wherever you go, you should be about kingdom business. It is more than just having a scripture. It is more than just knowing the word in your head. But you got to have power in reserve. You never know what God is about to put before you. Who God is going to put before you that you can speak one word to them and change their life. Are you with me today? I was on a cruise, but God was on an assignment. You're not hearing you this morning. I was preaching to the wrong church. I was on a cruise, but God was on an assignment. You need to understand the Bible says the good work I've begun in you. It is not you working for you. It is God working through you. It is you making yourself available for God to work through you. Could he say amen? That morning, two mornings before, I was on the balcony of that boat spending time with God. And God gave me a prophetic word. And I put it on somebody's name. I thought it was for this person. And I typed it in the person's name in the messenger. And I was ready to send it, but the internet wasn't working. And God says to me, that word is not for that person. Hold it a little bit. And I left it there. And when I met this man in the dining room, I said, sir, I was praying 2 days ago. And God gave me a word, and I believe it's for you and your wife. He tell his wife, could you hear what this man said? I say, yes, it's for you and your wife. And I took the word and I opened it up and I read it to him, and he began to cry. And he said, my God, I came to this trip asking God to speak to me, and out of nowhere God sent you to speak to me. And I'm saying, my God, the kingdom of God is just not in word, but is in power, because power travels with words. Could you say amen? Faith is released with words. Power is released with words. The authority of power flows up when you speak, when you spend time in his presence. But if you are so busy about your assignment, and you are so busy about what you want to do for you, you will miss opportunities to release power. So even though the bulb has potential, it has to be connected. Say, I got to be connected. That bulb has to find its place, and then it has to be plugged in completely. It has to be totally screwed in. It has to be not ankle deep or knee deep. It has to be all the way in. And God began to speak to me. There's so many people come to church. Not this church, some other church. They come to church once a week. They just screwed in a little bit. And there's some come to church twice a week. There's a little bit more. But they're really not all the way in. They're halfway in. Some are quarter way in. They don't have God. It's not their all. They got God on my job. God on my money. God on my business. God on pleasure. And God wants us to come all. The Bible said to follow me, you must deny yourself. The Bible says any man that will not pick up his cross and deny himself is not worthy of my kingdom. There are many times you got to deny yourself. You got to ignore yourself. You got to begin to give God first. And as you're doing it, God is channeling his power to meet the very thing you deny. He's giving you the ability to meet the very thing that you give up to be able to do what he calls you to do. Could somebody say amen? Can somebody say amen? And many times we are too caught up. We are too busy. Are you hearing me today? We are so busy doing nothing. Nothing will reach substance. We will sacrifice for everything but for the kingdom of God. We will sacrifice for our car, sacrifice for our house, sacrifice for anything, but tell them to do this. Oh, I got no time. I got no money. I don't have this. I don't have that. But you got to understand, anytime God asks you to sacrifice, it's because God wants to show up in that situation on your behalf. Every time God spoke to Abraham, he sacrificed. And every time he sacrificed, God spoke and he blessed and he increased. I want to let you know, between you and God's blessing, it is your sacrifice. Could you say amen? So the kingdom of God is not just in word. But to be able to tap into this power, you're going to humble yourself. Could you say humble yourself? I was listening to this message while I was away, and the man of God was saying, you can't help proud people. Proud people are people that will not humble themselves. They will not submit. They will not say, not my will, but your will. You can't lead them. You can't tell them to go because they will not go. You can't tell them to come. They will not come. You tell them come to church. They will not come to church. You tell them go out and witness. They will not go out and witness. They will not do what they tell you because they are too busy trying to build their own world. But when they get sick in the hospital, they want you to come. They want you to come. And they want you to go. But they will not go. And they will not come. But when they're in trouble, they must come. People who don't tithe always want money. People who don't give always want somebody to help them. People who don't go always want somebody to go on their behalf. But God is saying, as you have related to me in the same way, I will relate to you. Are you hearing me today? And God began to say to me, it is very important for you not to pour into people that will not go when you say or come when you say. Are you hearing me today? There are some animals that you cannot tame. Are you hearing me today? Are you hearing me today? So it's so important for you to humble yourself. What is the key to elevation? Humility. Come on. Are you hearing me today? You ever see anybody? Some people are too big. I gotta become small. So I got to become small. I got to humble myself. Come on. You got to submit yourself. You got to deny yourself. Come on. And as you humble yourself, submit yourself, deny yourself, the lower you go is the higher you become. Because when you go low, you connect with the power to go higher. Are you hearing me today? That's why when somebody is looking at someone, you know, like when a parent is going to buy a pet for somebody, they don't go and look for a giraffe. It can't fit in the house. It's too big. You don't look for a rhinoceros. It's too big. There's some people that are too big. You can't bring them in the house. You're going to look for a little poodle, a little kitten. It's easy. Come, they come. You can't call a rhino. He ain't coming. You can't call, you know, you bring that long neck giraffe in your house, he's always outside watching something else. You can't make them your pet. You can't train them because they have a mind of their own. But you got to look for people with a child. That's what the Bible describes the people as sheep. You could bring a sheep in your house. Come on. You can have it close to you. You can put him in your arms. He will submit to you. Come on. He can be easily led. Come on. These are the people that God wants to give his power to. It is not enough for you just to have the word. Are you hearing me today? It is not just enough to have scripture. I know the Bible, but the devil know the Bible too. Satan know the Bible. He quoted to Jesus, but he has no power. So we got to go from this knowing to the place we have the power to walk in what we are saying. Come on. And some people say, but you know, Pastor, you know what, Pastor? I know the Bible. I'm doing this. I'm doing that. Why is that happening? You are not all the way plugged in. You are not plugged in all the way. So the bulb has to be all the way in. And then the bulb has to be connected to a power source. Who are you submitted to that fuels you with power? So the bulb has to be in position. It has to be all the way in. And you got to make sure that it has a power source. Who are you submitted to? Who makes you tremble? Who makes you get up in the night because they call? Are you hearing me today? Who is it? Who it is you will give up your plans for? Like Jesus, he found people plowing. He said, go do this. And the Bible says Elijah found Elisha plowing for his father. And he says, he dropped his mantle. And Elisha left all of that and followed Elijah. Come on. That's where power is. When you're willing to give up stuff. You're willing to plug in on. The Bible says he killed the 12 yokes of oxen. And he left his, kissed his father goodbye. And he followed Elijah. Many times to get what God has for you, you gotta be willing to give up all. You gotta be willing to plug all the way in, because as you give up, God is also giving up to you what belongs to you. Could somebody shout hallelujah? There are things that have been reserved for you, things that are bigger than money, things that are bigger than fame, things that are eternal, things that will pass on to your children, that you could only pay for in submission to God. Are you with me today? When Elijah began to follow Elijah, all the Bible says there was a school of prophets, and all the prophets' sons were there following Elijah, but they all were following halfway. The Bible said they stood afar off. Could you say afar off? They all were close, they all were there, but they were standing afar off. Look at it, 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 7. You see, you could be in church but be afar off. You cannot be reached. The text, you will not return your call. You gotta understand, we are born mourning for ourselves. The Bible says we need to worship him in our spirits and our soul. It all belongs to him. In 2 Kings chapter 2, verses 7, and 50 men of the sons of the prophet went and stood to view afar off. That's most of the church. They come to church, but they stand afar off and they're just looking. They're not involved. They're not doing anything. They're criticizing. They're finding faults. They're adjusting. The mic is too loud. The music is too loud. That's not a nice song. This. And nobody, they do not want to get involved. They're halfway. Are you with me today? The Bible says they stood to view afar off, and that's why they had no power. They were serving a great man of God, but they never connected to his power because they were too far. They couldn't be led. They couldn't be instructed. They couldn't be called. They couldn't be sent because they were too far off. Are you with me today? To catch you, I got to go through three people. I got to call you and wait 3 hours for you to get back to me. Listen, God wants people to say, Lord, here I am, send me. Are you with me? The Bible says, and Elijah took his mantle and wrapped it together and smote the waters, and they divided hither and thither, and the two went over on dry ground. See, they went over on dry ground. You need to understand what's happening there. You see, later on you will read that Elisha asks Elijah, I want a double portion of your anointing. And he says to me, you got to be close enough to see me. God, he says, see me. If you want my power, you got to be committed to me and be close enough to see my wisdom in my operation. Are you hearing me today? Because my operation is in my wisdom. If you look at my life, you will understand where my power comes from. If you look at the way I speak, you will understand where my power comes from. If you look at how I treat people, you will know where my power comes from, Elisha. You're not going to get my power without being close enough for me to send you, to be close enough to pour water on my hands. You want my power or you want my word? The sons of the prophet had the word, they had the logos, but they didn't have the power because they were too far off. And today God is looking for people that will plug all the way in, that will connect to their power source, so that God will begin to pour this dunamis power upon you, that when you speak to the dead, they will raise. When you speak to the blind, listen to me, I come to Bible study, the prayer meeting Friday night, and I look at Sister Van Zola sitting there, and God begins to move in my spirit, and I say, Father, in the name of Jesus, this woman will see in this church. I declare over her life, Father. I begin to feel compassion rise up within me. I watch her sitting in prayer meeting quiet, and I begin to feel this compassion in me for her life, and I begin to say, Father, you gotta open her eyes. Open her eyes, Father, before she leaves this earth, Father. Let her begin to see. Let her see. Let her know that you are real. Let her know, Lord God, that you are not dead, Father. And I want to let you know, I believe in God with her and with this other gentleman, that God will touch your eyes. I release the Spirit of God upon you, that God will begin to open your eyes, and God will begin to unlock the ability to see again. Could somebody shout amen? Could you shout amen? Could you shout amen? Could you shout amen? Why are you in a church with all this word and the power of God was present? If the power of God is present, the Bible said Jesus healed all their infirmities. Could you say amen? Could you say amen? I want you to ask your neighbor this morning, do you have power? I want to be close to power. I'm closing right here. I got 2 minutes. And Elisha asked him, check this out. And Elisha took his mantle, verses 8, wrapped it together and smote the water. And they were divided hither and thither. And the two went over on dry ground. And it came to pass when they were gone over, when they were gone over, say they were gone over. You see, when you're close enough, when the men who you're serving or the woman you're serving or the power that you are connected to, when they go to the next level, you go to the next level with them. When he goes over, you go over with him. When he goes up, the Bible said when Moses went up, Joshua went up with him. When Elisha went over, Elisha went over with him. You see, you're going to be close enough, because if you get this power and not understand the wisdom, not understand the operation of this power, you will not be able to benefit from it. Are you hearing me today? I see God release a new power upon your life in the name of Jesus. I don't know who in this house will believe me this morning, but while I was away, I see, especially you waiting, God said, get yourself together, because I'm about to put my hands upon you, and you will see what I have shown you in visions and in dreams, and I will manifest myself to you and through you, and you will see the power of God working through you. Yes, you feel like, God, you have called me so long, and like nothing is happening, but thus says the Lord, you shall see my hands working with you, through you, and upon you, says the living God. I want to let you know, you have to be willing to be close enough to learn. Are you with me? I'm closing right here. Hallelujah. And the Bible says here, verses 10, and he said, in verses 9, and it came to pass when they were gone over, Elisha said to Elisha, ask for what I shall do to thee. And he said, take away, before you take it away, Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit, say thy spirit. I want you to get this before I finish. Elisha spent all this time with Elisha, but all he wanted is his power to do miracles. He said, give me that spirit that allow you to do miracles. And he says, thou hast asked a hard thing. Say a hard thing. Are you with me today? He said, nevertheless, if you see me. He says, see me. So you got to be close enough to see. Listen, the anointing is also transfer. It is transferred by words, but it's also transferred by seeing. When you're close enough to see and to get the revelation why the man is doing whatever he's doing, it will begin to work for you the same way. Are you hearing me today? He says, verses 11, and it came to pass as they went on and talked, behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder. And Elisha went up by a whirlwind into heaven, and Elisha, he said he saw it. Could he say he saw it? And he cried. What he cried? My father, my father. Come on, somebody say amen. They got so close that he was no longer his master. He became his father. Come on, check this out. He saw Elisha as his father, but he did not want the father part of Elijah. He wanted the power part of Elijah. He didn't want the father part of him. He wanted the power part of him. Are you with me today? So you could be close and only want the things that make you look good, but not the things that gives you longevity and give you legacy. Are you hearing me today? You need to understand, I want to ask you a question. If Jesus tarries for the next 200 years, would you be remembered on the earth? Will there be anything on the earth will be able to speak of your memory on the earth? If Jesus tarried for 300 years before he comes, would there be anything in the earth that will talk about you like they talk about William Branham and they talk about D.L. Moody and all these great men of God? These men have been died for so long and they still talk about them. They talk about Elisha. They talk about Isaiah and Jeremiah. They've been talking about them. Would they be talking about you? What would you leave on the earth that they would be still talking about? Would your great-great-grandchildren know who you are? Are you hearing me today? We need to ask ourselves, what are we doing that is eternal? What are we doing that will never die? What are we doing that will speak for us 200 years from now? What are we building in the kingdom of God that will be still speaking? Are you hearing me today? We need to think about legacy. My great-great-great-grandfather, Rockefeller's children, is still enjoying the legacy of what his father and his great-grandfather and the great-great-grandfather have acquired. Come on, somebody say amen. And God says to me, you need to be able to build legacy. And how you build legacy is to get people to come close to you. Close enough to you that they become sons and you become their father. And that you could give them not only your power, but you could give them your heart. Are you with me today? Are you taking the time to learn from a mentor, a father, to get their heart so that you can be able to leave a legacy behind that 200 years from now, your power is still speaking through your legacy? I don't know my great-great-grandfather. I don't know what he did. I don't even know who he was. I don't even know my great-grandfather. I don't even know what he did. There's nothing on the earth that to say that he was here. We're supposed to be eternal in the way we live. Could he say amen? Amen. And the Bible says in verses 13, and he took up all the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and went back. Say he went back. And he stood by the bank of Jordan and he took the mantle. He saw what his daddy did, so he knew what to do. Listen to me. I'm closing right here. Elijah never lay hands on Elisha to give him power. All Elisha did is stay close enough. He listened, he served, and he watched. Are you with me today? He listened, he served, and he looked at the man of God closely. And the Bible says, and he took the mantle of Elisha that fell from him and he smote the waters and said, where is the God of my father Elisha? When he has also smitten the water parted. Listen to me. You got to understand that he had respect for the mantle upon the man of God. You cannot get power of somebody if you don't respect the mantle that's on their life. If you talk about them like a dog, you remember the mantle was just a piece of animal skin. It was dirty looking. It was not pleasant to look at. But he respected the mantle. It was a type of the anointed in the New Testament. Closing here right now. And verses 15, hear what it says. And when the sons of the prophets, which were viewed at Jericho, say, they were so far they had no power, only had knowledge. They said, the spirit of Elisha doing the rest of Elisha. They had head knowledge of it. They had theory. They had logos, but no rhema. Are you hearing me today? And it came to pass, and it came to meet him and bowed himself to the ground before him. And he said unto them, behold now, there be thy servants, 50 strong men. They were saying, let's go look for Elijah. He said, don't send anybody. I want to show you the punchline here right now. Let's jump all the way down. Let's go all the way down here now to verses 19. And the men of the city said unto Elisha, behold, I pray thee, the situation of this city is pleasant, as my Lord see it, but the water is naught, and the ground is barren. Listen, this is what Elisha asked for. He asked for power to do miracles. And they're telling him the water in this city is barren. And he went forth into the springs of the water, cast the salt there, and said, thus says the Lord, I have healed these waters. There shall not be from thence any more death or barren land. He had the power in his words to be able to cleanse that water and purify it. So the waters were healed unto this day according to the saying of Elisha, which he spake. How did he get that power? From being close, from being totally submitted, from being serving this man of God, from watching and listening. Are you hearing me today? And he went up from thence. This is where I'm going to close right now. He went up from thence into Bethel, and as he was going up by the way, there came forth four little children. Could he say four little children? Four little children came out of the city and mocked him. This is the part he never got. He got the power, but he didn't get the father's heart. Four little children begin to make fun of him. And they say, go up the bald head, go up the bald head. And he was not a father. Because a father don't curse his children. Are you hearing me today? So if you don't get the father's heart, you could have power, but that power will hurt everybody around you. The Bible says here, and he turned back and looked at them and cursed them in the name of the Lord. And there came forth two she-bears out of the woods and tear 42 children of them. What am I saying to you this morning? The word of God. The Bible says the kingdom of God is not in word, but is in power. But even after your pursuit of power, you got to spend enough time with God to get his heart. That's what I was saying to the church 2 weeks ago. We need compassion. Because even though you get power, without compassion, you hurt people. And he cursed 42 children because he lacked a father's heart. So even though he had the power, he lacked compassion. He lacked the father's heart. What am I saying to you today? You're a Bob. You need to find your place. Are you hearing me today? In this church. This is where God called you. This is where he planted you. Find your place, whether you're an usher, whether you're a leader, whether you're on a team, whatever it is God called you. Plug all the way in. Commit yourself. Father, listen, when somebody is coming out of drugs, addiction, or coming out from any narcotics, they go to NAAA. They ask them to do 5 days a week. Some of them do 7 days a week. Go into these meetings for total deliverance. Are you hearing me today? And that's all natural. If you want to really fulfill your assignment, this church has service 3 days a week. You need to look. You need to listen. Are you hearing me today? And you need to serve. So I need to look. I need to listen. And I need to serve. Because in my looking, my listening, and my serving, I will begin to develop, not only get power, but I will begin to get the heart of God. Not only the heart of the man of God, but also the heart of God. Because after you're seeking power, you need to understand, power comes from God, but it also comes from your connection to man. As you spend time in God's presence, you get the Father's heart. But as you spend time in a man of God, you get the power. So I need the power from the man, but I need the heart from God. Are you hearing me today? Are you hearing me today? Because if you get power without the heart of God, you will destroy yourself and others. And that's why Elisha, even though he did twice as much miracles as Elijah, he died with no sons. He died and his anointing died with him because he never took the time to mentor anybody. Are you hearing me today? And the thing about, I want to let you know, if you don't begin to at least plug in, connect, serve, watch, begin to get in the heart and listen, and begin to listen to both God and the servant of God, you will find yourself 20 years from now, you have more things, but your heart is so far from God.